بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، in this final session of our half day long series, inshallah, we'll talk about two important topics. Inshallah, Allah willing, the first one is the wisdom behind the delayed response. What are some of the benefits and what are some of the wisdoms behind our dua not being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or being accepted at a later time? And the second topic, which we'll gloss over briefly, is the relationship of dua with qadr or predestination. And if we have some time, there are other topics as well that we can discuss. The first topic is, why are some of our du'as not responded to? Well, this question is phrased incorrectly, because as we have learned today, every single du'a is responded to. Therefore, it is incorrect to even ask the question, why is it that my du'a has not been accepted? We have quoted numerous ayat and numerous ahadith which prove that every single du'a is responded to by Allah. But the response might not be the way that you see it. The response might not be what you specifically asked for. It might be something other than that. It might be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away some evil that was destined for you, or He will give you something better than what you asked for. But of a surety, you will be responded to. So this is the first point. Every dua is responded to. This is one of the fundamental problems many of us have. We ask, why isn't our dua responded to? Well, if you follow these conditions that Allah mentions and the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, if you follow the etiquettes of dua and you avoided the factors which prevent dua being responded to, then know of a surety, have yaqeen, like the Prophet ﷺ said, وَأَنْتُمْ مُوقِنُونَ, you have yaqeen, full certainty, that your dua is responded to. So you might rephrase the question, why or what is the wisdom behind a delayed response, or behind a response that we do not necessarily see? We ask for something but we don't get it, we get something else instead. Without a doubt, this is a great test and trial from Allah. When we make dua, fulfilling the etiquettes of dua, avoiding the factors that prevent dua from being accepted, we pray constantly, continually, and yet we see no result from that. This is a great trial, a great test, a great fitna from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to test our iman. So in order to assuage this, in order to provide some food for thought, if you like, some wisdoms, it is imperative that we bring to mind, we ponder over some hikam, some wisdoms behind this delayed response. Firstly, and of the greatest wisdoms, is the pure iman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-malik, the king. And when He is the king, then He has the right to do what He does, when He does, and how He does it. As Allah says in the Quran, لَا يُسْأَلُ عَمَّا يَفْعَلُ وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. Allah will not be questioned about what He does, but they, meaning us, will be questioned about what we do. Allah is the Malik. وَاللَّهُ يَحْكُمُ لَا مُعَقِّبَ لِحُكْمِهِ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah judges, Allah decides, and there is none that can change or alter His decree. This is Allah, this is Al-Malik. No one has the right to question or to demand something as a right from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What He gives from His wisdom. And what He withholds from His wisdom. This is of the manifestations of Allah's names and attributes. Another point and another benefit to ponder over is the recognition of man's proper status. A lowly, powerless creature who has no good, who has no inherent power to do anything except by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has no right over Allah. Allah created him and gave him everything he has. Therefore, he has no right to demand something that I deserve this. A person should realize that this is not his right, whatever he is asking. If Allah gives it to him, it is of His wisdom and justice. And if he does not, that too is of His wisdom and justice. Man is the abd, the servant. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ilah, or the God that is worshipped. Yet another benefit of a delayed response is that this is a type of test, of fitna. And without it, we would not have any iman and taqwa. When you have an enemy, when you have difficulties to face, that is when your courage and bravery is shown. Therefore, when the fitna of not having your dua responded to is comes, that is when you respond to that fitna like a mu'min should. So that Allah tests you. Allah separates the good from the evil. If there were no tests, how could He do that? How would He fairly judge between people? And of the tests and of the ways that He judges between people, is the response to a delayed a dua. Like Allah says, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. We test you by good and evil both as a fitna. Good and evil both is a fitna, a test, a means of discerning, of differentiating the good from the evil. And one of the ways of doing so, like we said, is when our dua is not responded to. What will be our response? Or it seems that our dua is not responded to, what will be our response to that situation? Yet another benefit and wisdom to ponder over is that what we are asking might bring about some evil. As Allah says in the Quran, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. You might hate something, but it is good for you. And you might like something, but it is evil for you. So you might think that if you get this job, or if you get this status, or if you get this dua responded to, of the matters of this world obviously, then there will be some benefit. But Allah knows best that in that there is some great harm and evil for you. Therefore in His love and wisdom, He does not respond to that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the case of the man who asked for more money so that he could be pious. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهَ لَئِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. There are those people who said, they made a promise with Allah, if you only give me of money, then of a surety we are going to be pious and we're going to give of this money. So Allah says, فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. When Allah gave them what He wanted, when Allah gave them of His bounty, بَخِلُوا بِهِ. They were miserly. وَتَوَلَّوا وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. And they turned away, thinking that they did not need Allah. Then Allah says, فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicted them with nifaq, with hypocrisy, till the day of judgment. The person prayed for money, and he said, by Allah, if you give me, I will be of the pious. لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. If you understand Arabic, there's emphasis after emphasis. We will of a surety be generous. And indeed, I'm going to be a pious person. Just give me the money. So when Allah gave him that, then they became arrogant. It is easy to imagine what you would do in such a situation. But when that situation happens, that is when the real trial comes. So it is possible that what you are asking for might be for your detriment, might be detrimental to you in the hereafter. Once the Prophet ﷺ received some money as sadaqah, and he started giving it to some people. So one sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, why don't you give to so and so? I think he is a Muslim, a mu'min. And he said this 3 times. Why don't you give to him? But the Prophet ﷺ did not give to him. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, O so and so, the one who was asking him to give to the other person, sometimes I love someone more than other people. Therefore I do not give them of this money. Because I fear if I were to give it to them, they would misuse and abuse it, and because of it go to the fire of hell. Because of my love for him, the Prophet ﷺ saying, I do not give him money, because I think he will not be able to deal with this fitna of money. So it is possible that what you desire, what you want, will only bring about evil and harm for you, and not bring about good. Therefore trust in Allah. When Allah says, حِكْمَةٌ بَالِغَةٌ, Allah's hikmah and wisdom is perfect, all encompassing. Trust in Allah's wisdom. Be content in what Allah has given you. And realize that what you ask for might not be for your benefit in this world or in the hereafter. It is like a child who asks for sweets when he is sick, who doesn't want the medicine that will cure him. His limited perception, he only wants the temporary, but he forgets the long term. You need to eat the medicine in order to become full and pure again. But the child doesn't want it because it doesn't taste good. He doesn't see the long term benefits. So too many of us, when we pray for something, there might be long term benefits we cannot even realize. We don't even have the perceptions to see. So trust in Allah. Like the Prophet ﷺ said, that Allah is more merciful to you than your mothers are. When there was a battle going on, and the Sahaba saw a woman frantically searching for her child, and every parent knows the fear that will happen in a battle. Can you imagine losing your child, not knowing if it's alive or dead? The woman is ignorant of the battle, she just wants to find her baby. When she finds the baby, she takes it and she gives her breast to it to suckle. When the Sahaba saw this, they were moved. And the Prophet ﷺ said, do you think that this woman would ever throw her son into a fire? They said, as long as she had life, she would never do it. So the Prophet ﷺ said, no, that Allah is more merciful to his servants than the woman is to her child.
Allah knows what is best for you. If you really have the iman and taqwa, if you really have that, then realize whatever Allah decrees is for the best. This is yet another benefit and wisdom, that the choice of Allah is better than the choice of the servant. The choice of Allah is better than the choice of the servant. Sufyan al-Thawri, one of the famous scholars of the past, he said, when your dua is not answered, when you don't get what you want, realize that Allah is in fact giving you something. Because when He does not give, it is not because He is miserly or stingy, but because He has looked at the benefit of the servant. And because of that, He has not given you for your own good. In other words, Sufyan al-Thawri is saying, when Allah does not answer your dua, thank Allah in that as well, because Allah has shown a greater benefit for you. He has chosen something even better for you than what you can imagine. Allah is not giving you this, not because He is miserly or stingy, a'udhu billah. Not because He is worried to give you that He will have nothing left, no. But because He realizes what is for your own benefit, for your own good. As Allah says, it is possible you love something, but it is harmful for you. Ponder over the story of Khadr and Musa when they were walking along. And Khadr found a baby child, a young boy, and killed him, slaughtered him. Musa said, what have you done? How could you kill an innocent child? Khadr said, you do not know. He was a prophet of Allah. You do not know what Allah has inspired me. Then later on it comes out, the story, that this child, his parents were pious people, good people. And had Allah allowed him to live, he would have become a kafir and caused them much harm and grief. So killing him at this stage is a mercy for him and a mercy for his parents. Because right now they are only grieving for his life. But if he had become a kafir, they will be grieving for his hereafter as well. And the pain of a pious practicing parents looking at their children who are not even Muslim. Can you imagine that? So out of Allah's mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed him, the child, so that the parents could live a better life. Ponder over this. Allah knows what is best for you. So trust in Allah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We belong to Allah and to Him we return. Allah knows what is best for us. So the choice of Allah is better than the choice of the servant. This brings us to another point as well, is that man does not know the result of his dua. This is yet another benefit and wisdom. You do not know the result of what will happen to you. Like we said, some good you think is good might bring about evil. And some evil you think it is evil, it might bring about good. Yet another benefit is that these trials and these fitnas, they increase your iman and bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you did not have fitnas, you would not come closer to Allah. It is through trials and tribulations, it is through these means of testing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises people over others. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the greatness of reward is proportional to the severity of the trial. In other words, the more difficult the fitna is, the more difficult the musibah is, the more the reward will be. And then he said that if Allah loves a person, He tests him. Listen here. If Allah loves a person, He tests him. So whoever is pleased will gain the pleasure of Allah. And whoever is angry will receive the anger of Allah. The more Allah loves you, the more He will test you in order to raise your ranks up. Therefore, the delay of the dua, the delay of the response of the dua, should be taken as an indication of this as well. Is that it is possible Allah is testing me, and through this testing, He will forgive my sins and raise my ranks in the hereafter and in this world as well. And also, like we stated before, something evil sometimes brings about something good. Something evil sometimes brings about something that is good. Like Sufyan ibn Uyayna, another of the scholars, said, that what the slave hates, what the worshipper hates, is better for him than what he loves. This is because what he hates will cause him to increase in his dua, whereas what he loves will distract him from dua. Beautiful statement here. When one of you is in a musibah, what will happen? We will turn to Allah. We will pray more. We will give zakah and sadaqah more. Therefore we will come closer to Allah, even though we hate that thing that has occurred to us. Whereas when some good happens to us, if a lot of money or a lot of prestige comes, this distracts us from the worship of Allah. Every one of us knows this. Therefore, Sufyan ibn Uyayna gave a beautiful statement. He said, that which you hate is better for you, because it brings you closer to Allah. But that which you love is not for your good, because it distracts you from the worship of Allah. Beautiful statement if we ponder over it. And yet one more benefit and blessing to delaying the response of a dua. Yet another benefit is that when the dua is not responded to, it causes a person to stop in his tracks, to ponder over his life, to think about his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to contemplate his own sins and the little good that he has done. Only when the dua does not come does every single person stop and think why. Unfortunately, most people, most Muslims, don't think when they're in the prime of their time and they have all of the luxuries they want. They don't stop and think about religion. But when musibahs happen, when fitnas and trials happen, this is when everyone stops and thinks, why is this happening? So it is a time for contemplation, a time for self-judgment. A person thinks about his life and what he is doing with it. And this is a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives him this opportunity in this life before it is too late. A person can examine himself. A person can see the good and the evil in his own life and therefore improve before it is too late. Had Allah responded to every dua, then a person will become complacent, arrogant even. Whatever dua you make, it comes immediately. Then a person will not have the ubudiyyah or the servitude to Allah. But when the dua is delayed, then the person thinks, why is it delayed? What have I done? And this is, like we said, a very beautiful benefit of dua. And any person that has been in a severe situation and circumstance and has prayed to Allah constantly knows this perfectly well. It is possible, like we said, that a person develops a relationship with Allah because of his situation, in which he enjoys this relationship more than he enjoys the dua itself. In other words, when a person realizes his own sins, and he wants his dua to be responded to, he will give up his sins. He will increase his good deeds. His love for Allah will go up. And he will develop a new relationship, a new dialogue, a new conversation with Allah. And this conversation will be so pleasing and so sweet to him that he will not want his dua to be responded to. Because he realizes when his dua comes, he will have to give up that friendship. That it will cause him to be distracted from that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the height of iman and perfection, when a person loves this ubudiyyah to Allah, this servitude to Allah, more than he loves the response of his dua. So this is yet another blessing and beauty of a delay in the response of the dua. Yet another point, and we mentioned this in the beginning, is that the dua might actually have been responded to. How do you know? You might not get what you want, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you something better than that. You ask for a job, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause money to come to you from other ways. You might not get that job. You ask for family, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you other things besides that, that are better than you, than a family might have been. Whatever you ask for, it might have been responded to in ways that you do not see. Because we are narrow-minded. We only see this one thing that we want. And yet we ignore all of the other blessings around us. It is possible Allah would have blessed us far more than money and treasures can buy. But we don't realize and appreciate those blessings. There is one instance which is not directly related to this point, but it shows you what I'm talking about. Is a person came to Al-Hasan Al-Basri and he said, I'm a poor person. Pray to Allah to give me some money. Make dua to Allah. I don't have much money. So Al-Hasan Al-Basri looked at him and he said, would you give me 100,000 gold coins for your hands? Let me get your hands and I'll give you 100,000 gold coins. He said, of course not. I'm not going to give up my hands. He said, will you do it for your feet? He said, no. How about your eyes? No, not even your eyes. Not even my eyes. How about your good health? No, not even my health. So Al-Hasan Al-Basri said, you are a walking millionaire and you're complaining to Allah that you don't have money. You have treasures beyond imagination, yet you have the audacity to complain that you don't have money. So you might not realize the true blessings from Allah, but there might be things that you do not see. Your short-sightedness does not see. And the greatest treasure is the treasure of iman. When you have real iman, then everything and anything besides that treasure pales into comparison. There is nothing that equals the treasure of iman. Fix it is for me. Yet another benefit and blessing of a delayed response is that you might ponder over the dua itself. Have I perfected this dua? Am I asking for what I should ask? Or am I asking only of the dunya and forgetting the akhirah? Am I fulfilling the etiquettes of dua? The preconditions, the adab? Or am I doing something that blocks the road to dua being responded to. So it causes you to examine the very dua that you want responded to, and improve the etiquette and the way that you ask that dua. Yet another blessing of a delayed response is that this manifests Allah's names and attributes. A delayed response shows you Allah, who He is, and His names and attributes. Of Allah's name is Al-Muti', the one that gives. Al-Mani', the one that withholds. Of Allah's name is Al-Hakam, the one who judges and decrees, and none can judge and decree over Him. Of Allah's name is Al-Adl, the ever-just. He gives with justice and He withholds with justice. Of Allah's names is Al-Kareem, Al-Mannan, the ever-generous, the one who gives continuously. Al-Mannan means He gives continuously without stop, and He never takes anything back. All of this shows you Allah's names and attributes, who Allah is. And it demonstrates and manifests Allah's perfect nature. Yet another benefit and blessing of a delayed response is that it perfects a person's ibadah, a person's worship of Allah. It perfects his servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the ways that it perfects his servitude is the very fact of waiting for a response. It prolongs your hope and fear. It prolongs your hope in Allah and your fear of Allah's rejection. It shows your need to Allah, your continual poverty. You always raise your hands and you continue to pray, realizing that if Allah doesn't give it to you, it will not come to you. So it shows your poverty and need to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It also shows your pleasure at Allah's decree. You do not get angry. When we say pleasure, it doesn't mean you have to be happy, but you cannot get angry. You cannot get angry at the decree of Allah. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when his son was taken away, his son Ibrahim, whom he loved like anything, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed that Ibrahim pass away, the Prophet ﷺ did not jump with joy, rejoice. No, he cried, but he was patient. And the tears came down on his face. And he said, "Ya Ibrahim, we are very sorrowful at your loss, but we say nothing except what will please Allah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." It doesn't mean you will be happy at Allah's decree, but you cannot get angry. You must accept it. This is what I mean by pleasure. You will accept it like a mu'min and know that what Allah has in store for you is better than what you have, even if you don't see it and appreciate it. So this also manifests your servitude to Allah. It also proves your humility to Allah. When your dua is delayed, then you become more humble, more humiliated. The dhul becomes even more. You approach Allah more frequently. That's showing who you are, the abd. You are the abdullah. Had your dua been responded to all the time, you would not have this feeling of abd. Rather, you would think that A'udhu billah, you are our God. Whatever you ask, you get. So all of these blessings and more. Of these blessings as well, the final one we'll talk about is combating the plots of shaitan. Shaitan uses this opportunity to cause people to go astray. Aha, look, Allah is not responding to you. Allah does not love you. Shaitan uses this opportunity when your dua is not responded to. So by turning to Allah and turning to Allah against shaitan at this time, once again you renew your contract with Allah. You renew your iman with Allah. Because like we said before, when you don't have an enemy to fight, then you become weak. Only when there is an enemy will your courage and strength be shown. You must have an opponent. If there is no opponent, you cannot see the courage and the strength. So too is iman. There must be an opponent that you have to show this iman to. So shaitan uses this. And here you have to show your own strength. You have to prove your own iman. Are you strong enough to withhold and withstand him with the permission of Allah? And this is of the most important and crucial times. How many are the Muslims? They pray. And just like the Prophet ﷺ says, they say to themselves, "I have made dua and Allah hasn't responded to me." So they give up the dua and they give up the worship. And this is exactly the reason why they will not be responded to. Like we said earlier, the Prophet ﷺ said, every dua will be responded to as long as the person doesn't give up. Doesn't say Allah has not responded and he stops making dua. So of all of these blessings, all of these are blessings in a delayed response. And there are much more than these. And realize, O Muslim, that even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most noble of Allah's creation, the greatest man ever to have lived and died, even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not all of his du'as were responded to. If that is the case with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how about us? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "I asked my Lord for three things, and he gave me two of them and didn't give me one. Didn't give me one. Even the Prophet's dua, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because the Prophet is a human being, he is not a God. He cannot decide what he wants when he wants it. No. He is an Abdullah as well. He too must submit himself to the will of Allah. And the hadith says that I asked my Lord three things. He gave me two and he didn't give me one. I asked him that my nation not be destroyed by a drought, all of it simultaneously. So he gave it to me. The Muslim Ummah will never perish in a famine or a drought in its entirety. I asked him that my nation not perish by drowning, all of them. Remember, when the Muslims were small, that might have been a fear. So Allah gave that to me as well. And I asked him that we do not fight amongst ourselves, but he did not give that to me. And that is why to this day, we have Muslim nations and Muslims always fighting with one another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not respond. Because of wisdoms, there are wisdoms, we don't realize it. There are greater benefits and wisdoms in not responding. But the fact is, console yourself. Even Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an Abdullah. Not all of his du'as were accepted. Therefore, do you think that all of your du'as will be accepted as well? Ibn al-Jawzi, one of the famous scholars, he has a very beautiful paragraph, passage in one of his books, and I'm going to read it out because it's very beautiful. He was a great scholar, great worshipper, and a great ascetic as well, Zahid. He said, I was once in a situation of distress, so I regularly made du'a to Allah to relieve me from my distress and to bless me with relief and freedom. Yet the response seemed to be postponed, so my soul started getting agitated and restless. My dua was not responded to. So I said to my soul, he's like having a conversation with himself, I said to my soul, woe to you, consider your situation. Are you an abd? Are you a servant? Or are you the king? Are you the servant or are you the king? Are you the one who is controlled? Or are you the one that controls? In other words, does Allah control you or do you control Allah? Do you not know that this world is a place of trials and tribulations? And if you ask for something and it is not responded to, and you are impatient, then where is the trial? This is the trial. That the fact that Allah does not respond to your dua, if only you were to understand this responsibility, then that which is difficult will appear easy for you and the unbearable will become light. After it pondered over this, it quieted down a bit. Ibn al-Jawzi is continuing. Then he says, I then told it, I have a second response as well. And that is that you are asking Allah your wishes and desires, but neglecting to ask yourself what Allah requires of you. Beautiful passage here. You are asking Allah what you want, but you are forgetting what Allah wants you to do. You have the audacity to stand up and say, oh Allah, give me this, this, this. But you don't ask, have I done what I am required by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do? And Ibn al-Jawzi says, this is the essence of ignorance. For it is appropriate that you do the opposite, since you are the servant, and the intelligent servant strives to fulfill the rights of the master, knowing that it is not obligatory for the master to grant any desire. The servant must fulfill the rights of the master. Whether the master gives him extra or not, that is not for him to ask. He must fulfill his duties towards his master. So too are we. It is our duty that we fulfill Allah's rights upon us, and we cannot demand something back from Allah. After I told it this, it achieved yet more peace. Then he said, then I told it I have yet a third response, and that is that you have delayed the response of the dua by blocking its path with your own sins. You have blocked the path yourself with your own sins. If only you were to open the path, then the response would also be hastened. So look at your own sins and situations. They have acted as closing doors, as barriers, as impediments, blocking the response of your dua. Open this door, clear away this trash and rubbish of your sins by tawbah, by istighfar. And then the dua will also come to you. So my soul realized the truth and became content. I then said, I have yet a fourth response. And that is that you are asking for something which you do not know the consequences of. In fact, it might even be harmful for you. Your example is that of a child stricken with fever and asking for sweets.